Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and blessings. Welcome to another installment of Speaking Volumes. I'm your host tonight, She's Soul. And tonight we have a very, we've been anticipating this sister for a while. She was supposed to be on a prior show. Alhamdulillah, we got her to come back to be on our show. Her name is Jaweria. So I'm actually looking at my switchboard now. I don't see her on here yet. So what we're going to do is we're going to try something new today. We're going to play a little bit of poetry from some other poets. I finally figured out how to download some stuff or upload. So I'm going to put something on, and we're going to wait for our caller to come in. And the poem I'm going to play is by Safiya Abdullah, and it's called What I Miss.
I miss coming home on a cold, rainy day, changing into an overgrown sweater and curling up on the couch. My head laying against your warm chest while you absentmindedly caress my hair as we sip a cup of hot hazelnut chocolate laced with whipped cream. Snuggling up with you and maybe watching a movie or sharing intimate conversations about our hopes and our dreams. And I miss walking in the house from work, hanging up my outer garment, going to the kitchen, sensing your energy as you try so desperately to sneak up on me, wrapping your arms around my waist, gently kissing my neck and tenderly asking me how was my day, because you would do anything to wash my worries away. And I miss waking up, eyes opening to the sounds of the early morning dawn, feeling the warmth of the sun's rays as they play on the curtain, gently floating in the early morning breeze, gazing upon your face as you slowly waken, smiling gently as voice cracked from sleep, you wish me good morning. I miss watching you as you stand for prayer, late night or early morn, raising your hands as you call the Adhan, standing back off to your right, praying behind you, listening to you recite, voice filled with concentration and devotion, following your every motion as we submit as one unit to our Lord and Creator. And I miss working together in the kitchen, helping each other, making dinner, steaming vegetables, fixing salad, grilling salmon, marinated in lemon juice and love. I miss walking with you on the beach at night, listening to the waves as they fight with each other to kiss the shore with that same tenderness of the moonlight as it reflects the intense gaze of your eyes, while you gently pull me closer, placing your hand sensuously on the small of my back, letting me know that you are here and I can finally relax. And I miss driving with you, lost and trying so hard not to fight because you are so stubborn and you always think that you're right. And then turning my face so you don't see my smile as I realize that it is your desire to take care of me and your tenacity that I so admire. So yes, these are some of the things that I so miss, because they are the things I have yet to be blessed with.
Welcome back. Peace and blessings, Speaking Volumes. Tonight we have a very nice show lined up for you. I'm actually waiting for our feature, Jaweria, to get on the line. So, Jaweria, if you are on the line, press 1 so that I can bring you on the air. If not, we're going to go ahead and go into another poem while we're waiting for Jaweria. Again, Jaweria, if you are on the line, press 1 so I can bring you onto the air. Okay? Again, Jaweria, if you're on the line, press 1. I think we have Jaweria. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Is this Jaweria?
Yes, it is Jaweria.
Alhamdulillah.
How are you?
I'm good, alhamdulillah. How are you tonight?
Very good, alhamdulillah. Late night.
I know. It's so late. And I thank you because I know you told me you're kind of an early bird, you know, and this is late. And I really appreciate you, you know, calling in to give my listeners a taste of who you are. So I want to thank you for that. I want to go ahead and get right into interviewing you. And then, inshallah, I'll have you share about maybe one or two poems with us at the end. Does that sound good?
Okay. That'd be great.
All right. So the first thing I want to ask you, for those listeners that are on the air now that don't know who you are, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself? I know that you're a poet, you're an author, and you're a writer. But I believe that there are many other things that you do also. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Alhamdulillah, I would say in all that I do, it's just really trying to bring creative writing and creative arts into the ummah through the means of poetry and prose, playwriting, putting on plays, doing workshops with sisters and young brothers. So those are some of the things that I do in, you know, my downtime. Professionally.
I'm sorry. That's my son talking to me. No, I was listening to you, and so that you were saying that you are also, you do playwright, and I saw that on your page, that you actually had a play that you were auditioning for. Is that it? That's a play that you wrote?
Yes, it is. Yes. Hijab Online, it is a play that I wrote and produced and directed with three sisters on the college campus in Longmeadow, Massachusetts, on the campus of APATH, which is an all-women's college. Alhamdulillah, we brought that to New Haven with the assistance of the Yale MSA. And we did a nice little performance there. So, alhamdulillah, you know, in terms of playwriting and directing on stage, you know, I'm just starting with that, really getting out there and traveling with that and working with some sisters on their acting and things like that.
What is the play about?
The play was entitled Hijab Online, and it really just examines the stages that sisters go through with their understanding, their emotional and spiritual feelings towards the hijab. We look at those different things from a convert's perspective, from an American, indigenous American Muslim sister's perspective, and then we also have the perspective of an immigrant Muslim sister who's coming here from the Arab world and dealing with that as well. So we're just trying to give like a 360 view, degree view of the hijab to Muslim sisters and how we deal with it, and the love and the hate and the struggle that we have in trying to, you know, define it for other people.
Wow, that's deep. So when can we see, like, I'm in Jersey and I'm people from New York. Listen, when can we see this?
Inshallah, soon. We're hoping the sisters, two of them were seniors and one was a sophomore. So she'll be around. So I'm going to probably be casting it again, inshallah, in the summer and trying to bring in some new blood. And once I'm able to do that, we'll be able to start going to some other places, you know, traveling outside of New England area, inshallah, maybe into the New York tri-state area with it.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Like, I'm very proud of our Muslimas. Like, you guys are really doing some big things, and, you know, you're bringing things to the forefront, you know, opening up discussion, especially about hijab, very important, and it's something that, you know, all Muslim women can relate to. So I think that's a beautiful thing. I can't wait to see the play. Hopefully you can, the next show, maybe you guys can record it and then you can sell videos.
Yeah,
so we can all get
that would be
soon.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a lot. So my next question for you is, okay, I actually, the way I came to find out about you, I was actually at Najma's, one of Najma's open mics, and you were there.
Okay.
You were doing poetry. You were very deep. And so after, you know, you going on, and then you told us about the book that you wrote, and so I went and I researched the book, and I started reading it, the book The Size of a Mustard Seed.
Mm-hmm.
I was so, I read, like, you had that little preview on your page, and so I
yeah.
read that, and I was so, like, when the preview ended, I was like, oh, my God, I have to find some money so I can buy the book so I could
yeah.
finish it. I
yeah.
was so into the book. I'm like, it was so good. Where did you come up with your concept? And I also wanted to ask you, what did you want the reader to take away from that story?
The Size of a Mustard Seed developed through a series of, I would say, some shorter works that I had previously done. I started off with like a just like a novella, which is like a small short story, different stories in them. And once I got signed to the publishing company that I was in, the editor sat down with me and she was saying, well, maybe you could tie all of these different issues together. And I just started mm-hmm. playing with it like that. The theme of The Size of Mustard Seed is about being steadfast and realizing that, you know, this dunya is a struggle for everybody. You know, no matter what your struggle is, whether it's the hijab or whether it's marriage or it's being an immigrant or family or, you know, on your job, whatever you're going through, know that somebody else is going through something similar or worse than you are, you know. But
right,
as
yeah.
Muslims and as believers, it's about keeping faith, remembering who Allah Ta'ala is and striving patiently to seek Allah's face. And so I really wanted to really open up a book that could touch sisters and brothers.
Yes, the characters were
level,
very relatable too. Yeah.
Yeah, on a level that hadn't been done before, opening up and talking about issues that we really deal with on a day-to-day basis in the inner city. So The Size of Mustard Seed is an urban Islamic fiction book. And, you know, it's one of the first. And, you know, I'm trying to really put at the forefront in the literary world voices from within our own communities, the inner cities, because I think we've been here for so long, you know, our presence. And to not have that voice in the literary world to speak for us, I think
yeah.
it
mm-hmm.
was is a travesty. So I wanted to really discuss issues that were important to us and make sure that our voices were heard, and it just came together, alhamdulillah.
And it's definitely an excellent read. So anyone who hasn't read The Size of a Mustard Seed by Umm Jawariya, her author name is Maryam Sullivan. Definitely pick that up. You can probably find a link on her page. And where else can they maybe go to buy the book?
Anywhere where books are sold. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Borders, anywhere, your local library. You can go to your local library and request it if you don't have, if you want to do that. That's wonderful, too. I tell people all the time that's doing the wonders in terms of publicity, going to your local library and requesting them to get it into circuit. You can do that on college campuses, your city or, you know, city libraries, and other public libraries and schools and things like that. You can order it online on my website, www.authorumjuwadia.com. You can also go to my publisher's website, which is www.muslimwriterspublishing.com, and see a whole array of other genres of Islamic fiction, and as well as myself. And alhamdulillah, we have distribution with a lot of other Islamic retailers on the internet. I know IslamicBookstore.com In the UK, we had a Najm bookstore. So alhamdulillah, there's been a lot of support for this out of the mustard seed. Google us, and we should come up, inshallah, with all of those different things. But that's where I'm at.
Okay, and that's the only book that you have published currently?
That's my only full novel. I have several other books that I've worked on with other people, anthologies and published poetry. I freelance as well, so I've written for Sisters and Aziza Magazine. I've written for Huda, and I've written, you know, a lot of other different things I've done as freelancing on different Islamic issues. But poetry and novels, there's about four other books that I have that I've contributed to right now that are out as well. And you can probably find that information on my publisher's website, which is www.muslimwriterspublishing.com.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you, well, what other future projects can we look forward to, or current projects that you have going on right now?
Yes, alhamdulillah. Well, I'm working on right now, my baby is Three Strikes, and inshallah that should be coming out sometime in the spring. It's going to be like a really small personal book of collection of poetry and a short story, and it's very current, dealing with the current Islamophobia that we've been seeing today. It's called Three Strikes, Black, Female, and Born Muslim, and it'll be my first published collection of poetry and one short story. So I'm wrapping that up right now. And so, and
that sounds very interesting.
Yeah. And then on to the next novel, which is Hold Fast, A Muslim's Tale of Love and Heartache. So that should be coming, inshallah, at the end of 2011 or the first quarter, inshallah, of 2012. And also in 2012, we should be putting out the second book of The Size of the Mustard Seed is a collection of three books. And so the second book in that collection, the Cover Pearls series, will be coming out, inshallah.
Yes, and I just have to tell you, I love the concept of the I don't want to give up too much away, but the beauty salon, if you're just for Muslim women, like, that would be so dope. I've been saying that for a long time, I wish someone would do it. But I guess it just is a matter of, you know, people needing it. So that would be that was such a cool idea. Like, I was just so into that book. You don't even know. I was so wrapped up in that. So, alhamdulillah, I want to thank you for giving me such a great interview. I'm so happy that I actually got to get you on because, you know, the first time I wasn't able to do it. So, alhamdulillah, we got you on. And, you know, may Allah bless you and everything that you do. May you continue to have much success in your endeavors. And, inshallah, if you are willing to, we would like to, you know, have you perform some poems for us, maybe one or two poems, inshallah, if it's not too much.
No, not at all, not at all. And may Allah reward you as well. I appreciate it. I really do. It's always really good to have the sisters and the brothers, you know, reach out to me and let me know what they think of what I'm doing and to give that support or that criticism because it's needed. So, alhamdulillah, I'm very grateful to you and so many others. And keep doing what you're doing.
And you keep doing what you're doing. Give us those great books so that we can relate to.
All right. So right. I'll do the first poem from the collection that's getting ready to come out, inshallah, Three Strikes, Black, Female, and Born Muslim. And it's a personal piece, but it's called Spook. Let me know when you're ready.
I'm ready.
All right. All right. Turn on the TV. Turn on the radio. Turn on the internet and there you will see me or hear someone talking about me, I'm not free. I'm waiting for clearances to get a cup of coffee or ride the train or build a place to worship my Lord. I'm the spook with the hijab or the spook with the beard, and my throat is dry, and my heart is dying slowly with every single beat. I would have flown out the white flag, but my arms won't surrender me. My legs won't drop. It's too far to fall, and no one will catch me. If only I could have been born in the Serengeti with land to roam and freedom to drink, my body wouldn't have betrayed me. My mind wouldn't have dared me. Who can stand another black girl paranoid and crazy? Don't forget she prays to the east and covers up like Mary. There is no home for me in my birth home to go home. I'm exiled and alone, a refugee trying to migrate from negativity, tension, hypocrisy, racism, intolerance. And they wouldn't let me come out of the closet, even if I kicked and cried and paid with my blood, paid with my soul, so that the fruits of my labor could hum and sing, La ilaha illallah. The hunt for me is real. Sometimes I waver between praying for the angel of death or the strength to fight like Hamza or Umar or maybe Sumaya. Yeah, Sumaya, because she was the first to give her life, because she was the first to give her life to give her life, her life, because she, Sumaya, she was a spook, just like me.
That was beautiful, sister. Mashallah. So that's all you're gonna give us?
You said two, so I'm looking for one more.
That was really good. I love that one. Whenever you're ready to give us the second one.
Okay. This one is called Whatever It Is. Dreaming of love wrapped in this package called manhood. Sweet and faithful, maybe a little tough, enough to hold me down and lift me up. For my dreams are heavy and my pains have been Friday the 13th scary. Amaze me with patience that's never ending and trust that's built with prayers. At dawn's dusk on bended knees and we can be just be. Easy and please, our mouths can sing Bismillah and hum nightly the sound of Alhamdulillah, because when I'm with you, anger hides out and stress dissipates, gone away like fear to marry and share and start a new career as your mate. Smiles and families and babies, whatever it is, oh Allah, bring it to me, because I would love to love.
Mashallah, sis, that was wonderful. So y'all hear that he spits fire, he writes fire, and y'all definitely need to support this sister because she's excellent and extremely talented. And again, sis, I want to thank you for calling in on this late night because I know you're probably tired. So I want to thank you again for staying up. But I really want to thank you. I know that, you know, you're a mom and everything, and I can totally relate. So I know that you probably already had a long day. So, again, I appreciate it so much, and I'm sure that my listeners appreciate it.
No problem.
Inshallah, we're going to hear from you.
Inshallah.
No problem. Come back whenever you want. Whenever you want.
All right. So I'm going to tune in.
Okay, inshallah. Oh, if you want anybody that wants to chat with Umjaredia, you can go into the chat room, and you can chat with her for a little while. And I sent you a message. That is, like, we just started using that, so I don't know how many people is going to be in there. It may not be a lot.
Okay.
So it's, you know,
all
there's
right.
No one in there, then mashallah. But, again, we appreciate you and Shukran for calling in and staying up with us. And, you know, have a blessed night, inshallah.
All righty. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. All right, guys. So now it's 11:24, and here is a portion of our show where we do our open mic. So all of my open micers, I need you to press 1 right now if you want to get on the mic and spit. And it's a couple of you guys that I actually messaged tonight because some of you have some ridiculously hot poems that you guys post on my page and everything, and
then I'm like, you know, calling to the open mic and nobody wants to get on this shit. So please don't be shy. You know, everybody here is family. No one's going to judge you or criticize you. Art is art and your art is your art. So, again, if you're trying to get on the open mic, press 1. And what we're going to do right now, I'm going to play another poem from Safiya Abdullah. MashaAllah, sister's very talented. Another person you have to check out. I'm actually going to play her poem called Lifeline. All right, here it goes.
This poem is dedicated to the people of Gaza and to the people who lost their lives on the flotillas. Nelson Mandela said, "Our freedom is incomplete without the freedom of the Palestinians." Freedom. Words have two parts, reflection and action. Freedom. Freedom. You either learn to live free or you will die dumb. And so now I need to write, working with my right hand, trying to make sure nothing is left unsaid, trying to bring you back to life from the walking dead. And so I write lines to throw lifelines. I said I write lines to throw lifelines to my children, born mentally, prematurely, not allowed by the system to develop intellectually, to develop their mental capability, because they are only taught to be sheep, led by wolves. So with these words, I will slaughter their desire to follow blindly, teach them to read Braille with their fingertips, because their eyes have been blinded by their tears and closed by their fears. Like bullets, these words will enter their head, killing their fears and allowing them to hear their story, opening their third eye so they can see all in the world that they can be. And so now I need to write, working with my right hand, making sure nothing is left unsaid, trying to bring you back to life from the walking dead. And so I write lines to throw lifelines to my brothers and sisters drowning in the Red Sea. See red not from algae, but rather colored by their blood, ignored by the world's hypocrisy, because what the media hides is a government based on apartheid. You see, boarding ships in international waters is called piracy, unless, of course, it's done by an Israeli. So now, I need to write, working with my right hand, trying to make sure that nothing is left unsaid, trying to bring you back to life from the walking dead. And so I write lines to throw lifelines, because too much pain do I feel, too many needs are way too real. How can you look at me and not see my humanity? Does the color of my skin, my clothes, my country deny me the right to thrive or even to survive? Life is a right, not a collateral, and you'll take no loan out on this life. I am neither collateral for your greed, nor will I be damaged by your deeds. Do you think that you can deny me and my people water, food, and electricity? And just because the world looks away and has nothing to say, do you think that you will never have to pay for the crimes you have inflicted on me day by day, by day, by year, by year, by year, until none are left to hear? And so now, I need to write, working with my right hand, making sure nothing gets left unsaid, trying to bring you back to life from the walking dead. And so I write lines to throw lifelines, because veiled women fill you with fear, but veiled truth is seductive and dear. So I write for my mother, who boils straw where their children suffer. And I write for my babies, whose last breath was phosphorus gas. And I write for the 6-year-old boys sent out to buy bread, returned to their mothers wrapped in their shrouds with a bullet in their head. And I write for those in concentration camps, I mean refugee camps, those whose great-great-great-grandfathers' homes were bulldozed, 300-year-old olive groves, bulldozed, 23-year-old Rachel Corey, bulldozed, because they were too close to plan settlements for American Israelis from Miami and NYC. And so now I need to write, working with my right hand, trying to make sure nothing gets left unsaid, trying to bring you back to life from the walking dead. And so I write lines to throw lifelines, because I am living like I'm bulletproof. Living like I'm bulletproof is the only life I've got, because you've got all your guns aiming their bullets at me, dropping your missiles and bombs on all sides with varying trajectory. Yet I will dodge your bullets with my reality. and refuse to bow down to that crown that you think will make you king, not understanding one thing. This is not a video game, and I am not a toy soldier. You've got a knife to my jugular and expect me to juggle between life and death and truth and lies, and therein lies the source of this mess. You try to call it a game of chess, but you try to penetrate my chest, break my queens, imprison my kings, but this is just checkers with you trying to jump over me. But you see, white men can't jump. So instead, you try to step on top of me to make it to the other side of the world so you can yell, crown me. But I am that black knight that will continue to write, continue to fight until the missing piece from the puzzle of peace is finally in place and Lady Justice has taken the blindfold off of her face and no longer is justice denied to just us. You see, I'm that piece on the side of the board that you couldn't see, because truth can only be seen with the third eye, and yours is blinded by jealousy. I'll be that piece that jumps over you. Game over. Now we're all free.
Peace and blessings. Welcome back to Speaking Volumes. I'm your host, Sheetal. And right now we have the open mic hour. So I'm trying to get people on the open mic. Press 1 if you're calling in to share some of your lovely poetry with us. I see a lot of callers and nobody's putting their hands up. Nobody wants to share any poetry. So what's going to end up happening is you guys are going to hear some recorded poems all night long. And that's not really what the open mic is for. But I don't want to leave you guys with that air, because I'm not a person that will, you know, talk the whole time and take up the show. So anybody that wants to get on the open mic and share some poems, please don't be afraid to share anything. No one's going to criticize you. No one's going to judge you. You know, art is art, and we appreciate all art that we can buy you. So inshallah, if you want to get on the mic, press 1. It looks like I have an open micer. 610, you're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, love. How are you?
I'm good, alhamdulillah. So it's Aisha. I just decided I might as well break the ice.
Yes, yes. I know who you are. I know your voice anywhere, please. So you calling to share some poetry with us since everybody's acting scared.
Yeah, I actually have some short poems, so maybe I'll do like 2. They're like really short.
Okay, go ahead.
None of them have a title, so I'll just start.
Okay.
A poem can be your magic carpet. It means to get away. The pin connecting with the paper is equivalent to the anchor being raised from the sea, setting sail, ready to embark a new voyage, not knowing which direction it may take you, steady and brave enough to face whatever lies ahead, ready to explore the unknown, praying I don't run out of paper until I reach my destination, visit the rumbles of a lost nation, alienated from the norm but never lost in translation. See, to the inhabitants of my poem, I am a reincarnation of a queen, too royal and free to be seated on a throne. I roam but never forgetting my true place, my home, knowing that when the ink dries up, it's back to reality. So that's one. I'll share another one. This one is actually does have a name. It's called Dead End. I kind of wrote this a little while ago. It's hard for me to watch you die. This whole life will pass by like a blink of an eye, and look how you chose to live it. I'm forgiving you, forsake my love. Give and take, you make me feel like loving you was a mistake, but loving you kept me awake. You slithered in and out my garden like a snake, whispering sweet nothings. Your promises meant nothing to you, but they were everything to me. I can't believe this is who you chose to be. You disgraced me. How long did you think you could hide behind that mask, wearing a disguise, acting as if someday you'd be the person I thought you could be? I can only blame me for having hope, holding on to the ropes of broken trust, trying to mend, trying to befriend, knowing that one day our journey will reach a dead end and knowing I would be forced to watch you die. So,
We know you got skills, girl. We know. Thank you for sharing love and breaking
Thank
the
you.
Ice from me. I really appreciate it. Inshallah, I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. All right, we're going to go to our next open micer.
Caller 321, you're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikum salam, Sama. How
hey.
Are you, baby girl?
Good, honey.
Are you ready?
No.
Are you ready, Mama?
Gonna do it.
You're going to do excellent. You're going to do excellent, inshallah. Go ahead. We're ready for you.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. If I have to look at another malnourished baby, I'm going to go crazy. Not a penny, not a dollar to reduce that bulging in his tummy. It's okay, honey. No, it's not okay, but it's funny that you boast of being the greatest country, yet 98% of the wealth is concentrated into 6% of the population. Excuse me for misbehaving, but this is not a safe haven for me and my kin because we were born in that 94% who didn't get a cent. So much time spent on the rent, no way to fix the vent. Little brother's back bent, throwing up rubble and choking on lint. You see, just don't think it's okay that little brother wastes away while you lay back, sip on your jack, nibble on cheese, and just cheese. Smile like the cameras of which path you lead. Pardon me, let me intercede. In the capitalist society, only needs to greed. Nobody want to share, everybody want to feed. Once there's a need, are you begging on your knees? Please, give me some dope, some coke, and a pretty mama to squeeze. Reducing standards of the majority through reverse psychology. We are the minority. Once the man's now, please, welfare checks to stop the bleed. Overly contempt with WIC. Replacing the needs for wants. He no longer wants the need to breathe. He now needs the want for weed. That's it.
Alhamdulillah, you did it, Mama. You did it. So now you can call in another time and do it, right?
Yeah.
Well, you're gonna have to get your stuff together because you're gonna be on here featuring, inshallah, soon.
Inshallah.
Silent. All right. Thank you for calling,
right.
Mama. I'll talk to you later, inshallah. Bye.
Inshallah.
All right. We're gonna take our next caller. Caller 718. I'm sorry. Caller 585. You're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
This is Yazid.
Oh, alhamdulillah, brother Yazid. I've heard many good things about you from my cousin Adam.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, that's my aunt. How are you?
Yeah,
you
tell me you have skills, so, you know, show and prove, brother.
Hello. All right, this one's kind of lengthy, but it's called 5. Can you hear me pretty good?
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right. Tonight is when I cry. Daddy is drinking again, and in his drunken state, I no longer exist as his child. I transcend into that stupid little bastard, ungrateful and never satisfied, the one that he hates so much. Asking Mama why didn't she abort me? Not enough food as is, and I only take up too much of nothing. His firstborn, yet I am his only, hoping to be loved and cherished and comforted at night instead of being beaten by brooms and switches and clothes hangers, slapped in my face just because I can't tie my own shoe or write my own name. Heavy footsteps into the room as I look for a place to hide underneath dirty laundry or a place inside my closet. As I fear the roars of the boogeyman looking to release his anger upon my innocence. He had already beaten on Mama because he tried to stop him, and her eyes are blackened by his mighty fist as each blow speaks to her face, telling her to stay in her place or before she finds herself in a hospital or something worse. My cries are only tears for the fear of being found, just the thought of seeing near death at the young age of 5 with bruises on my back resembling that of a tree. I soon learned that I shall forever fear the night that I might lose sight of ever being that child he could someday be proud of and see me succeed. And come graduation day, walking across the stage with both a high school diploma and a college degree, where shouts from the audience of a proud father screaming my name, that's my boy. And his praises become as radiant as a spectrum of colored lights, and the tears in his eyes revealed his emotions of happiness for his only son, yet my dreams are only dreams. Until the rise of the sun, I stay away, waiting for his drunkenness to pass. For a few hours of sleep shall bring him back to normal, where his confessors are blamed on his alcoholism and him feeling guilty and offering them sorries, and I didn't mean to, and tomorrow I'm headed to rehab, and I know I need help, and if you only believe in me, I promise to do better. And when night falls, I can hear him in the icebox once again, looking for that drink to relieve his stress from a long, hard days of work, but one drink is not enough. Sips of 4 and 5 and 6 and many more until the man that I had loved and he who had loved me and remembered my name and held me tight, but just that moment had gone away, and I run to find safety once again underneath dirty laundry or a place inside my closet. Tonight is when I cry. Daddy is drinking again, and in his drunken state, I no longer exist as his child.
That was heavy, brother. Wow. SubhanAllah. Well, you definitely have skills, brother. So I look forward to hearing from you again, inshallah. You know,
inshallah.
The show is every other Saturday. So we definitely want to have you back on. That was really deep, really. So, alhamdulillah. Good job, brother. Inshallah, we'll hear from you again soon, right?
Inshallah, most definitely.
Okay. All right. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam.
All right. We're going to take our next open mic caller, 718. You're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
How you doing?
Fine, baby girl. Like, I don't know who this is. You're another one. You guys, I know your voices, so just stop acting like I don't know who I'm talking to. I know who I'm talking to.
I don't know why
to.
You don't want to play Guess Who with us, Marisa. Come on.
No, I don't want to play Guess Who. I know who all of you are.
Well,
what's
I like
up,
to send
now?
A shout
you
out.
You got some new...
I just want to send a shout out. I want to send a shout out to my girl, Jaweria. I can't even believe
yes.
Aisha went. Salma, like, this
yes.
brother went, like, I'm just, like, I'm really hyped because all the shy people are going, and they're actually spitting some good stuff, so I just wanted to send
definitely.
A shout-out to them to say I'm supporting them. Alhamdulillah.
Yes,
yeah, I was going to do something, but, yeah, I don't want to be as heavy because I'm probably going to do something else. I'm going to just do my poem that I put up for 365 Art the other day, so
okay.
I'm going to spit that. All right, it's called Ode to the 80-20 Rule, Don't Think of Me. And if anybody knows about the 80-20 Rule, it's a reference from Why Did I Get Married? So check it. You can replace me, shuffle the deck of cards, choose a spade over your heart. Look for greener grass when you already have fertile soil. But in the middle of the night, when you can't sleep, because you got this nagging feeling, force your thoughts not to wander on me. Feel her breath on your neck. It's calm and steady. So why are you breathing so heavy? Is it because you inhale regret but let out sorrow, but then forget it all by tomorrow? When you go back to playing pretend, Barbie and Ken, dream house, dream car, comments like, you two look so good together. Aw. So you play your part, but like ping pong in your head, you go back and forth. She's beautiful, intelligent. Men envy you. You think, I must be crazy. She just doesn't get all my jokes. Her laugh's dainty and sweet, no roaring from the gut. Always giving me suggestions. I'm doing her hands. She wants to mold a better me. Things were different with you. You always liked my recipe. Mon cherie, I'd say. I never second-guessed you. My arms were open to your imperfections, closed to embrace your stumbles, but now tied because you've made your decision. So while you lie awake on greener grass, her breath breathing on your neck, don't think of me. Whatever you do, don't think of me. Thank you.
Mashallah. Baby girl. And that you posted that on my page, and I have so many poems on my page that I haven't read. So, alhamdulillah, you just knocked one off the list. But I like to hear them.
I'm the same way. Don't feel bad. I'm backed up on my poetry, too. I got people on my page,
like,
and I haven't read their poem yet either.
I'm going to start telling people,
yeah.
If you tag me in a poem, you give me the right to read
you
it.
You
got to
read it on the show. I hear
that's
that.
Right.
I'm not mad at you for that.
That's right. All right, baby girl. I'll holler at you later. Thanks for calling.
All right, no problem. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam rahmatullah. All right, we're going to take our next open mic. Caller 215, you're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Oh.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh.
Who do we have on the line?
Soteria.
Yay! I kind of figured because it's 215, but I wasn't absolutely sure. All right, so we get to hear that hot poem live. And is Sanun on the phone also?
Yes, she is. She is.
Oh, okay. So we get to hear you guys do your thing as a trio, or you guys are just a duo?
No, we just the one solo because we couldn't get Aisha on the line. So we just going to do, I'm going to do one and she going to do one or whatever.
Okay.
All right, because I'm
ready
nervous.
For you.
All right.
No, don't be nervous. Nobody judging.
I can't help it. But this is, it's called My Proverbial Cup. I'm not doing the other one, but I don't know. I just felt this today. So,
okay.
All right, here it go. I am ashamed to admit that my proverbial cup is neither half full or half empty. It is completely empty within me, and I need to restore my soul. Replenish the nourishment of my cup so that my soul can be whole and that the whole can grow and take the peak of my weakness and put it out of existence. So once the cup spilleth over with the knowledge of my forefathers and mothers, I will relay the message in my native tongue. Singing the song of my people so that it's no longer unsung. Spilling the content of my cup onto the land so that maybe the rebirth of greatness can begin. Tell the tales of Shaka or his mother Nandi, queen of the tribe of Zulu, or maybe Aesop inspiring the minds of the people. Conquerors and warriors like Usman Danfolio, sultan of the Sokoto. All hail to Hatshepsut, first female pharaoh. We come from great people, great land of Islam, Mother Africa. I want to pass around my now overflowing cup of my ancestral pride. Tell the stories of the hieroglyphs, the first dynasty. You know we were the first royalty, and for that I am proud of my legacy. And let's not forget the vast shades of beauty, exotic yet natural. Yes, this is my history, my lineage. It defines me. As I sip from my once empty but now overflowing cup of my ancestors, so when I think about it, I am proud to admit that my proverbial cup is neither half full or half empty. It is completely overflowing with dignified pride. We come from a place where we were the majority and never the minority, where freedom rang far before freedom rang, where Hakuna Matata was the song that we sang. Drink from this cup, my people. Drink to relive. Drink to revise. Drink in remembrance of the greatness we come from. Drink to restore so that maybe we can become greatness once again. All right, I'm finished.
Wow. You just took us to school. That was lovely. Mashallah. Shukran for that.
Yeah. Shukran for that. Let me do my little piece.
No, of course. Anytime. Come back anytime. Inshallah, when you come back, I can hear my poem that I want to hear.
Yeah, if I have enough time, I'll press one again or something. Try to do that.
Okay.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. All right. I thought Unsanun was getting on, but maybe she's not. So we're going to go to our next open mic. Caller 404, you're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum.
404. Wa alaikum salam. Is this Amir?
Yes, this is Amir.
Yay,
you
Amir, you're going to get on here. First of all, let me just say big up to the youth calling in and spitting their poetry because, you know, we really want you guys to call in more often because we want to hear from you guys. So you have something to share with us, brother?
Yes. First, I'd like to give shout out to my brother Yazid from the 585.
Yes.
He's real nice.
He did his thing.
Okay. The poem I have is called Now. And I'm going to start, okay?
Okay.
It's time to wake up and turn off snooze. Show some thanks to whom created you. Make your salats, there's no excuse. There's none before El Quddus. He blew life into you before you was a seed. He keeps your heart pumping until you leave. He gave us Islam so we can have peace. And if you live it right, this test will be a breeze. Continue them good deeds and keep them consistent. Embrace Islam, it's a better way of living. Avoid the dunya, it'll have you slipping into the depths of hell, screaming for forgiveness. You want to go to Jannah, but that's Allah's decision. So you do your best to get his permission. It's your deeds and your attention. plus your submission. Don't give up to Shaitan, hold your position. It's right over wrong, lean over all. I pray we won't fall. But why would we? We've been provided with everything we needed. Allah has given us the Quran, but we're slipping because we don't read it nor embrace the meaning.
That's that was it. Very powerful, young brother. And how old are you?
I'm 17.
17, mashallah. Inshallah, just keep on writing. That was wonderful. Alhamdulillah, I don't know why you were scared. I don't know what you were scared for. You sound like a professional.
First time.
First time, inshallah, it won't be your last. I hope to hear from you again, inshallah, okay?
Inshallah. Okay.
All right. Salaam alaikum, little brother.
Walaikum salam.
All right. We're going to take our next open micer. Caller 267, you're on the air.
Salaam alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
I'm talking to you. And,
I was confused. I thought you guys were going to be on together. So I was waiting. I thought you were going to get put a phone. What happened? So you called in by yourself.
Yeah. Now, I want to do one that I never read before. So y'all got to bear with me because I never read it out loud before. I don't even know how it flows. But this is one of the ones from my 30 days, 30 poems one. So anyway.
Okay, all right.
It's called Reveal the Real. Capsize this sinking ship. Clinging to the underbelly, there you'll find it. We are up to our ears in refuse. Matters never brought to a head. Dry eyes have a hard time seeing truth. Insipidity is disgusting. Fillers only satiate the foolish. Reveal the real. Tired of chasing my own ill. Swelling my belly on bait. I am now arguing with an echo. All this noise is new. There's no quelling me. I caught a glimpse of the string. There beyond the curtain, this show is far from magical, starting to get restless. At this point, I'm throwing sharp objects. Reveal the real. Did you not hear me scream objection? Refutation has become futile. Only soliloquy explains itself. So now I'm questioning crazy. Silence will sharpen my insight. Dense walls are even hollow. Station is a matter of relativity. Success here is judged on a curve. Level the plane with the fist. Look death in the eyes. Repeat these claims. Then I may consider it sincere. Reveal the real. Up the ante on this rat race. What benefit lies in playing along? No need for me to give chase. I'm standing right here. Pitch the fantasy in full color. Present a treaty written in gold. Drench me in promises silver. Now show me a medal that doesn't tarnish. The decree has long since been written. The decree has long since been written. And the ink has dried. Lift your holy grail to my lips. Nothing can make me swallow falsehood. Peel back the layers on this rotten gourd. Reveal the real. Thank you.
Beautiful. MashaAllah. Yeah, it didn't sound like you never read that before. So it was excellent. Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah, I look forward to hearing from you again soon. I love when you guys call me. You guys always teach me something new with your poems, too. So definitely keep supporting, MashaAllah.
MashaAllah, we will. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Rahmatullah. All right, we're going to take our last open micer. Caller 917, you're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
This is Amira. I'm going to recite a short poem.
Assalamu alaikum, Amira. How are you?
I'm good, alhamdulillah. How are you feeling?
Alhamdulillah. I'm okay. I'm feeling fine.
I'm honored to be on the show.
Alhamdulillah. We're honored to have you. We're honored to have you.
My poem is called Reflections. I love Allah, be in love with Allah, obsessing over the blessing to know the one. Reading his words, my fingertips glide over his holy script, reciting with passion for the one with the most compassion, and of his beauty that is everlasting. And how am I lasting? Not with my love, longing to get back to a heavenly state, waiting for my death to live, and that is my fate.
MashaAllah. A lot of Islamic poems may, alhamdulillah, and keep us in remembrance. That's what's up. Well, shukran, sis, for sharing. Inshallah, I hope to hear from you again soon.
Inshallah, thank you for having me on.
You're welcome, sis. Have a good night, inshallah.
You too.
All right, fine.
Alaykum salam.
All right, guys. So it's 11:54. I don't have any more open micers. That was it. I have a lot of people that still have pressed one, but I have already spoke to them unless they wanted to recite another poem. I'm not sure. But what we're going to do is we're going to get ready to close out the show. We're going to close it out with this last poem. This poem is called Soundbite. And inshallah, I'm going to thank everybody for tuning in, listening to the show. You know, thank our guest, Umjawadia, for staying up with us and giving us such a wonderful interview. Please support our sister with her book, The Size of a Mustard Seed. You can Google the book, or she was saying that it's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And her name is actually Mariam Sullivan. When you go to look up the book and support her and, you know, whatever she's doing, inshallah. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you for your support again, and hope to hear from you guys next week, inshallah. Until then, peace.
Yet more victims of Israeli aggression. This time, a strike in Khan Yunis kills three children from the same family. Gaza will now see more funerals like this one held earlier on Friday.
We are a people of reality TV. That is, we are a people of sound bites. We watch TV and think that someone's week, 168 hours, which translates to 10,080 minutes, we chop that down to 36 minutes after timeout for commercials, is the whole story. And we watch it fervently, diligently, determinately, slavishly, no, make that slavishly, because that is what we have become, slaves to the sound bites of society, never taking the time to train our minds to find out what is behind these sound bites. So let me give you some sound bites of my own. Sound bite, most densely populated real estate on the face of the earth. Gaza. Soundbite. 50% of the population is under 18. Soundbite. 52% of the population lives below the level of poverty. And that was 18 months ago, before an economic embargo. Soundbite. This densely populated area is walled off on all sides, preventing materials, food, supplies, and people from getting in and out. Day one, soundbite. Lunchtime shopping, kids coming home from school. Sister across the street had a miscarriage. There just wasn't enough food to eat.
Very hardware.
Funeral
incredibly,
yesterday.
Perhaps unimpressed.
Cousin died of dysentery.
Not one of the mourners seems to look up.
No medicine shipments. In a
the
month
funerals were
of
supposed
Sunday,
to take place inside this mosque.
Bread line,
but in the early hours of Friday morning, Israeli jets sent missiles
long.
Pummeling into the building.
Soundbite. Zeynep, mother of three, boiling water to soak the peas, to
this
make the tea,
that
to soften the day-old
for
bread
launches.
For her young daughter, till her son gets home with more. Soundbite. Zeynep flies across the room, sits up in a daze, automatically makes her way across the kitchen. Got to turn off the gas. What was it that caused that blast? Another follows, and wails begin, while mothers pour out in the streets and holler their children's names, searching streets for children who were just playing games, or coming from school, or standing in line, waiting for water or fuel. Soundbite. Here comes more missiles again. Sirens blaring, then silent, as missiles hit police stations, firehouses, civilian populations already under siege, now besieged by F-15s, paid for with U.S. dollars, make that our dollars, taken from food stamp programs, an education scholar, ships firing missiles from the sea, hitting families, playing on beaches, longing for just a small distraction from a long life. of occupation. Day 2, soundbite. Hospitals overflowing, beds, floors with rivers of blood pouring, no way to triage the wounded, lives, as always, in God's hands. Doctors slipping on blood-soaked floors as they struggle to treat bodies burned and mangled. Hospitals turning away injured, no room inside or out as minute by minute the death count rises as the bombing continues another day and Gaza is deafened by the world's silence. Soundbite. Bodies litter the streets. There, a young girl's hand still clenching her book. Next to it, an old boot. Within it, the foot of an elderly man who once ran trying to save her as she stood frozen in fear. Day 3. Soundbite. More of the same. Israel saying they're only playing a game started by Hamas. Alas, did we forget? The ceasefire was violated election day when the Israeli army invaded the Gaza Strip. Or did we just miss that sound bit? Soundbite. Israel saying they warn civilians before dropping bombs. Give them a call on their telephone. Ring, ring. Hello. You there under siege with no place to go? This is the Israeli army just placing a courtesy call, telling you we're about to drop in your neighborhood for a friendly visit. Or is that a bomb hit? Doesn't matter. Ain't got no phone anyway. All the lines and satellites were hit by the second day. Day 4, soundbite, worldwide demonstrations galore as concerned citizens pour out into the streets begging someone to put an end to this genocide and massacre, but once again, just being ignored. Day 10, soundbite, ground assault begins, carnage and destruction, no end. Gaza is now a patchwork quilt. And still, there is no guilt when schools are bombed and weaponless children are killed and harmed. Soundbite. Ceasefire in place for supplies and water while the Israeli army is ordered to continue its ground assault. Again, only silence, no comment about this blatant double talk. So, ladies and gentlemen of privileged conditions, I apologize for ruining your peace and serenity with my sound bites of another's reality. But maybe tonight, when you kiss your children goodnight, these sound bites will replay in your sleep, and you will become outraged, decide to become engaged,